Hi, everybody. Steve Jones. Hope you're enjoying your weekend. We're back on Thursday, the day after Christmas, with a preview of the Cotton Bowl. 3 to 5, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is Brewers Outlet Day. It's Friday. Time to stock up for the weekend, stock up for Hanukkah, stock up for Christmas, stock up for the holidays. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. You just heard them talk about Panic Saturday. People who haven't finished their Christmas shopping yet. Guess what? Brewers Outlet gift cards remedies the problem and makes the recipient happy. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Penn State plays Central Connecticut tonight. I'll be going over to the Jordan Center as soon as the show's over because I'm actually on the network at 5:30. I know we're not carrying it here tonight on WKOK. But I'm on the network at 5:30. This game has bedeviled Patrick Chambers the last couple of years. It was Alabama last year down in Tuscaloosa. It was Ryder the year before. You're like, oh, please, it's Central Connecticut. Come on, come on. That's what they were saying in Cincinnati last night. Fox Sports with our play-by-play call of the day.
Outside to Raymond, driving to the lane. Raymond puts it up, gets his own deflection, and ties the game at 66 apiece. Now Cincinnati, can they win it?
What was he doing? Oh, my.
Darren Cumberland took a half-court shot, and then a foul was called on the fight for the rebound. Colgate's going to go to the stripe. A chance to win the game with 1.5 seconds to play.
Oh, my.
But Darren Cumberland had probably 3 or 4 seconds.
Yep. And if you wonder why coaches... Oh, what are they all worried about? That's why they're worried. Finals week. Team that you're facing, it's their Super Bowl. Hey, Colgate won it last night. 67-66. With that, Alex Cazora joins us from SteelersDepot.com. Hi, Alex. Welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Cameron Kelly gets cut. Now... All he did was make terroristic threats and resisted arrest. I don't understand. It's usually, that is a quick way to get cut. It's a quick way to get fired. So when you look at something like that, what were your first thoughts?
I mean, it's no surprise. You know, the margin for error and the amount of room you have for those things if you're a fringe player, Cam Kelly, a backup who had a promising spring and summer, looked really good. Littrell, I was at training camp every day, and he had one of the better camps of really anyone on defense, but it didn't translate to the regular season. Once they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick, Kelly took a real backseat role and played just on special teams. So you know the drill. If you're a star player, you get more leeway. If you're a fringe, bottom-of-the-roster player, you get cut, and that's what happened to Cam Kelly.
And by the way, the Steelers did promote former Nittany Lion Marcus Allen to the 53-man roster. So that was a related move today.
Yeah, Allen is going to take that role as a special teams kind of guy. Didn't make the team this year and made it last year. Was inactive for most of the season. Played really significantly in one game against the Chargers. Played, I believe, 17 defensive snaps and looked okay. But one of those hair-on-fire dudes. It's a solid tackler, a big hitter. Had a great career at Penn State. Not an impact guy. I think he had, one interception as a Nittany Lion and hasn't really shown any playmaking skills in Pittsburgh. But I think a quality special teamer who's probably going to step in and play right away.
Yeah, all right. So now let's get to the offensive side of the ball. Duck Hodges has a massive amount of limitations. I think for the most part he has stayed within himself. But anytime he strays outside of himself, Alex, how much trouble does he get in?
it gets into a good deal of trouble. Now, I think, you know, having Hodges over, say, Mason Rudolph allowed this offense to be more vertical, and it has opened things up. Hodges has a more kind of gunslinger mentality. I kind of compare it to he's playing with house money. You know, he's an undrafted rookie free agent from Stanford University. Sure. He's not supposed to be here right now. So he does kind of have that lay it out in the line and see what happens mentality. It gets him into trouble. It can help him sometimes. So, yeah, you got to have good structure. You got to make the reads and his progressions easier for him. I will say, though, the game plan last week, I mean, he threw the ball 38 times against the second-ranked Buffalo Bills pass defense. That's the most pass attempts ever thrown by a Pittsburgh Steelers rookie ever in the history of the franchise. So I think it was a situation that wasn't really conducive to success. There were issues with pass protection and being able to pick up the blitzes from the edge, from defensive backs and safeties that Buffalo sent over and over and over, and Pittsburgh has simply had no response to. So I think Hodges had a terrible game, don't get me wrong, but I don't think the game plan really helped out Hodges' performance. But you're right. I mean, to bounce back and beat the Jets, got to be able to run the football. It's going to be tough. Just have number one ranked defense in the NFL. So, but that's going to be required for Pittsburgh to get back in the winning column.
But no Adams. Adams is not going to play in the game, I don't think. I think that's a big plus for Pittsburgh that Adams won't play.
Well, we were talking to a beat writer for the Jets today, and I think Adams is more likely to play. I'm not 100% sure on that, but you're right. I mean, if he's out of lineup, he'd be a massive loss. I mean, this guy is the best player on that defense, probably the best player on that team, you know, by a wide margin. He's got 6.5 sacks this season. So I mentioned about how Buffalo brought, you know, corners and safeties off the edge, and Pittsburgh couldn't handle it. Well, you know, Jamal Adams has 6.5 sacks, and they're going to test the Steelers' pass protection and see if they fix the mistakes that they made last week. Greg Williams, one of the football's most aggressive defensive coordinators. And Adams, again, is 6.5 sacks. That's 1.5 shy of the NFL record set by Adrian Wilson. So I have a suspicion that if Adams plays, they're going to blitz him a lot and try to get him to tie the NFL record.
Right, exactly. The receiver part, no Juju for a long time now. But what has that done to open the door for Johnson? What has that done to open the door for James Washington?
It's created a lot of playing time. It's put a spotlight on those guys, and I think on the whole, both guys have responded well. Now, for James Washington, the second-year guy, you know, the Steelers always stress about second-year sophomore players, how they have to make the leap from their rookie year, and I think Washington has done that, and the team always cites his weight and his conditioning. He dropped about 15 pounds from his rookie year to his sophomore year to be in great shape. So when you're talking November, December football, you know, you're not struggling to get to the finish line the way that he probably was last year. So I think that's really helped him out a whole lot. But he's been a vertical component in this offense that requires it to really play well, and I think he's done a nice job so far. Deonte Johnson, this guy's probably playing more than what the team anticipated to. You know, Dante Moncrief is supposed to be the starting X receiver to replace Antonio Brown. That plan went out the window about 2 weeks in when Moncrief couldn't catch anything, so Johnson had to kind of move into the starting lineup and play significant snaps really early on. But I think overall he's done well. He's shown mental toughness. He's bounced back from bad games. He's provided splash on special teams and big plays downfield as a receiver. He's admitted, and it's not a surprise, he's admitted he's kind of hit the rookie wall, and they're trying to be smart and manage his snap count a little bit, so getting Juju back will be big. But I think just getting Juju back in general is going to be huge for this offense, because the number one thing this passing attack has to do is attack the middle of the field. They're good outside the numbers. They don't really get anything between the numbers, though, and Juju in the slot is going to support that.
It's interesting, though. You feel like the tight end has disappeared in this offense.
Mm-hmm.
What could even semi-effective tight end play mean to Hodges, and have him understand what it means?
It'd be nice. I mean, you know, the old adage, a tight end is a rookie quarterback's best friend, so it'd be nice to have. But health's obviously been a little fleeting with some of the backups. McDonald missed last week with a concussion. He's passed protocol. He should play against the Jets on Sunday, but they just haven't looked good. I mean, it'd be nice to get them involved, but they got to warrant the looks as well. And McDonald just feels like he's either dealing with an injury that they're not talking about, or just a culmination of injuries throughout his career. I'm not sure, but he's a guy that looks just really, really hurt out there. Does not look like his old, you know, stiff-arming Chris Conte on Monday Night Football just a year ago, and looks like a shell of himself this year. And then they trade for Nick Vannett, which I understood. He needed some tight end help, but he struggled as a blocker and hasn't offered much as a receiver. So it kind of feels like a bit of a waste of a fifth-round pick. He'll be a free agent after this season. So, yeah, the tight end room has been underwhelming, to say the least, and certainly when you factor in the revolving door quarterback, it hasn't helped things.
The Steelers have done a couple things, starting with the draft when they traded up for Devin Bush, which is very 180 of what was seen the Steelers organization do. Now in the middle of the season, or at least more toward the beginning, they traded next year's number one pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick. Alex, you follow this closely. Are you, Are you surprised the domino effect Fitzpatrick has had on this defense?
I knew getting him would be big for the defense in the secondary. Yeah. I didn't realize, though, how big of a boost it would be. But he's been awesome. And I think Kevin Colbert has seen the writing on the wall. I mean, here's the bottom line. Is even without Ben, you know, this Super Bowl window really exists this year, kind of. I mean, obviously I don't expect him to go on that kind of run this year without a franchise quarterback. But basically next year in 2021. And then Ben's probably going to retire after 2021, especially coming off the injury this year. So this is your Super Bowl window. You got to be all in now. Otherwise, you're going to be, you know, just in this weird place of good but not good enough with Ben. Then you're trying to pick up the pieces once he retires. So I think that's why you've seen Kevin Colbert be unusually aggressive. You're right, trading up in the first round. It's only happened 3 times in Colbert's history. Trading a future first-round pick. If they don't have a first-round pick, which I assume that they won't get back in the first round in any capacity. It'll be the first time the Steelers have not picked in the first round since 1967. 2 years before Chuck Knoll arrived on scene. So it's really rare, but I think it speaks to the aggressive mindset that Colbert's had to go with, and hopefully get Ben back next year with his defense and the way Minka's playing, great splash plays. The number one reason why this defense has improved and seen dramatic success from last year to this year has been the takeaways. They had 15 takeaways as a unit last year. This year, they're up to, 35, I think. So, I mean, it's been a stark difference, and Minka's been a big, big part of that.
Yeah, there's no question about it. T.J. Watt has really stepped up. You know, he's a better player than a year ago. I thought he was really good last year. He's better this year. What has that done for Bud Dupree on the other side? Has that allowed Bud Dupree to get a little more single because of Watt on the other side?
Honestly, I mean, I'm sure it has to some degree. They did flip sides. It used to be Bud on the left and Watt on the right. They switched last year, and I think that's kind of been their more natural spots. But I think Dupree's just playing well because he's playing well. I don't think Watt's really changed that too much. I think the biggest thing for Dupree is health. You know, really every single year prior to 2019, he's always had an injury. He's a tough guy. He's played through injuries. He had a torn pec last year. He had an elbow injury 2 years ago, and it really kind of limited him as a pass rusher. So I think him just being able to be healthy for a consistent stretch of time has really been key for him. But Watt's been fantastic too. And what I love the most about Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt, you talk about the pass rush and the impact plays, and that's all well and good, but it's the down-to-down consistency I see from both guys is remarkable. Their effort against the run, their effort and chase of the football in general, and these guys play about 90% of the snaps. They just simply barely ever come off the field. So the fact that they can play this complete, consistent game 90% of the time with that snap count is almost unheard of. And I got a lot of respect for both those guys. And by the way, both guys are going to get paid probably really soon. Dupree a free agent after this season. Watt's probably going to want a contract extension, and certainly worth it. Both those guys are going to make big, big bucks.
What about Cameron Hayward? It seems like there are times where he goes, because of Watt, because of Dupree, because of Fitzpatrick, it seems like he goes under the radar sometimes. How good has he been this year?
He's just a stud. I mean, he's a leader of that defense. And in a year with all the injuries and the pressure on this defense, you need really good leadership to kind of hold that room together. And Hayward certainly brings that in spades. But from an on-field perspective, you're right. He probably gets underrated because, no, he's not going to be a 15-a-year kind of sack guy. But, I mean, he's still a great pass rusher. I remember Booger McFarland on Monday Night Football months ago said, you know, Cam Hayward, not really a sack guy. The dude's got like 30 sacks over the last 3 years. His bull rush, his power he plays with is phenomenal. The effort, again, another guy that plays a high volume of snaps and runs with the football better than probably any other defensive lineman in the NFL. So I think the NFL's warming up to how good Hayward is. It's probably long overdue, but Hayward's just been a consistent rock star, and now complemented by great talent around him that really makes that front seven excellent.
For the Steelers, the playoffs really begin this weekend. They're in a playoff mode. They have to win this weekend. They have to win next weekend. So when you look at the Mike Tomlin's been through this before, but what about player pressure? And I'm thinking mostly about Hodges here. How much do the other players have to help him? And what can James Conner mean if he's healthy enough to play all 4 quarters? What can he mean to take pressure off Hodges?
I think you said it well. I think it's about taking pressure off Hodges. You don't want any rookie quarterback throwing the ball 30-plus times if you can help it. If you can take the lead and sit on the ball and run your four-minute offense to close things out, that's going to be the blueprint. I mean, overall, and the team's been open and talking about this, their whole mission for the offense, they got one mission. Don't turn the football over. If they do that, it's going to keep the score down, let your defense make big plays. That's the key to this team succeeding, and that's the bottom line. As you saw last week against Buffalo, turn the football over too many times. Against Cleveland a couple weeks ago, turn the football over four times. That's how you lose games. So if you can have a steady, consistent run game, doesn't have to be amazing. You don't have to have highlight reel 70-yard runs, but just consistent, you know, get yourself in third, manageable, it's going to be huge. So there's pressure. Sure, there's not a whole lot to change that. I mean, it's December football. It's a playoff race. You're not going to be able to eliminate the feeling of pressure, but if you can execute your gameplay and not turn the football over and have a steady, solid run game, that's the best way to alleviate that pressure and go out there and win this game.
Sunday night was disappointing, obviously, for Steeler fans, but overall, you kind of felt like they've been playing with house money. What has been the atmosphere around Steeler games because of the makeup of the current team?
Well, I think Steelers Nation is one of the best. I mean, you see when they go out west, I mean, you know, the old adage is no one travels as well as Steeler fans, but I'm sure you guys know they're already there. They're not traveling. They live in Arizona. Right. They live in Los Angeles. I mean, that's not, you know, they're not buying a plane ticket to those types of games. But, yeah, I think it's important for perspective. I know Steelers Nation can be fickle, and after that Bills loss, you know, fire everybody. That's kind of how the fan base works sometimes. But this is a 1-4 team that should not even be in a playoff conversation, let alone the sixth seed if the season ended today. So I think you just have to take a step back, appreciate the turnaround of this season and how they're being able to still survive and compete and be in this race. You know, they're facing a Jets team this week that's out of the playoff race that was on a third-string quarterback for several weeks, the way the Pittsburgh has been. And you see the Jets, they fall apart. You know, they couldn't be able to turn that thing around and right the ship, and Pittsburgh has. So I think it speaks to the culture and the leadership that starts, you know, the Rooney family, Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin, and trickles all the way down.
Absolute pleasure, Alex. It was so great to have you with us today.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate it. Alex Cazora joining us from SteelersDepot.com. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. Pick segment coming up, final half hour. The King joins us. Matt said he sent his picks in, and the Charlotte pick changed to Buffalo at halftime. So I'm a little suspicious here. I'm just a little suspicious.
Charlotte is finally on the board. By the way, it's 24-6 with a minute and a half left in the third.
I don't have the game on. Are they still playing at that high school stadium down there?
That I don't know. I'm just following the game cast here.
Okay. All right.
We got rid of our cable a while ago here, unfortunately.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, yeah, I could probably turn it on and watch it for a little bit here, but, you know, I don't want to get distracted. I got my own game tonight. All of a sudden, I want to get so locked into watching the Bahamas Bowl that I forget to do my game.
I think we all would probably make that mistake.
Oh, boy. Just kidding. No, we're not going to make that mistake. That is not going to happen. And there's, what, another bowl tonight? The Frisco Bowl?
Yep, it's Utah State and Kent State.
Yeah, I think they're playing it where the Frisco Rough Riders play, the minor league ballpark down there. And Frisco is where the headquarters of the Cowboys happens to be. I mean, that's where the Cowboys practice. They practice in Frisco. Their complex is in Frisco. I mean, I think I want to say Frisco has like over 200,000 people in it. It's not a small area. But, yeah, that's, so it's what, 24-6, huh? Well, they go for two? They must have gone for two.
Yeah,
they must have gone for two. In other words, we're going to get this back in three scores. Yeah, sure you are.
Yeah, they did miss the two-point conversion. They got down 24-0, then they got a 51-yard touchdown pass. Two-point conversion failed.
Ooh, fails a hard word. I mean, you don't want to be labeled as a failure. You don't want that. Failed. Don't want that. Failed bad. All right. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. By the way, Shemokin Shikalemi tonight. Shemokin will be at home. So, my son is coming in from New Hampshire because we're doing our Christmas this weekend. Has nothing to do with the bowl game, by the way. Zero.
Oh, okay.
We're having Christmas this weekend because it's when my son, who lives in Rochester, he and his wife both are at Strong Memorial Hospital, and they're scheduled for Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. So
ouch.
We organized it so everybody's going to do it this weekend. Son Dan's coming in from New Hampshire, and he's going to go to the basketball game tonight with my son-in-law, Mike. They both said, this is really cool. It's the first Penn State basketball game either one has ever attended where Penn State was ranked. That's why they want to go.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Well, Hanukkah is Sunday, Christmas next Wednesday, and you need to be fully stocked and set to go. That means a trip to Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels of the dills, although Buhner loves the garlic, indeed second to none. And tomorrow is Panic Saturday. Alleviate the panic. Get Brewer's Outlet gift cards. And you don't want to go, you don't want people coming over your place and not having enough beverages or snacks or anything. And you don't want to be like the suit and go someplace else and just claim it's good enough you showed. You need to bring something with you. Facts are facts, Matt. Facts are facts.
Exactly right.
Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And with that, we bring in the king.
Hey, brother. How's it going?
Doing great. Great to hear on the other end.
How's it going, Kevin?
I'm doing well.
So I'm talking to Kevin Freeman, assistant basketball coach for Penn State. And Free, of course, was on the 1999, started for the 1999 UConn National Championship team.
Yep.
And, in fact, he lives on Gent Street. They're at opposite ends, but he lives on Gent Street. It's not a long street.
Now I live on the UConn campus.
Right. And I said to him, my brother just got a condo in Stores. And
not he looks a condo. At me, he says, it's a house.
He says, really? Where?
It's right on Route 44, right next to the entrance to UConn. And it's on UConn's, the backyards are UConn's property, the woods. There's all kinds of deer and all kinds of wildlife. We got a deer that walks right up our front porch. Pretty cool place.
Don't
we haven't
feed
moved
them.
In yet, but it's being renovated now. So. Can't wait to move there.
No, he looks at me, he gives me this look like, where? There's nothing there.
Yeah, there's not a lot there. It's you talk about farmland. It's farmland. There's not a whole lot there. But.
Well, that's the interesting part. Is obviously I grew up. Not one time have I ever been in the UConn campus. Never.
Well, when you come visit me, you will, so... I'm literally three-quarters of a mile to a mile from Gamble Pavilion, depending on how I go. I can walk to the games if I want to. So I'm that close. So.
Wow.
And the traffic's not bad, but the campus is nowhere near as big as Penn State's. I mean, Penn State's like a little city now. But UConn has stayed, you know, they have a big student body, but it's out in the woods. It's way out there.
Oh. Yeah.
But it's nothing compared to Penn State size-wise at all, right. Even though they have a large student body. So, but we'll see.
I understand that.
It's a very nice area. It's very quiet. And I mean, our house here is an old farmhouse, and you think, and we're on an old horse farm, and we got 2 acres of woods behind us, but our front is Sullivan Avenue, which is...
Right.
Yeah, you know Sullivan Avenue. I mean, and our bedroom is 10 feet from the road because it's an old farmhouse.
Right.
It was built right on the road. And about 4 years ago, they built a FedEx, big FedEx center. It's like a 250,000-square-foot facility. So at night, the trucks are running all night long, and they put those groove things in the middle of the road, so the tractor trailers are hitting the grooves all night long.
Right.
It's so loud. It's just, you know. But anyway, we're renting now. We're renting from the guy who bought the house. So.
Right.
We had a really good situation, so we don't have to move until we're ready to, you know. Claire's getting her perfect little kitchen and, you know, granite tops and the perfect floor. She's picking everything out, and she deserves it. So whatever she wants, I'm good with, because a happy wife is a happy life. So we'll let it go. I have no opinion.
Get that right.
Yep, it's perfect, honey.
Get that
right. Oh, God, that's beautiful. So,
yeah, I know.
So, man.
Yeah, that's
totally bad. Every woman deserves to have their perfect kitchen. Their, you know, she's worked hard her whole life, and she deserves it. So,
sure,
I'm happy for her. She's excited. And then, what if I picked the wrong thing? I said, who cares? You know, we downsized, so the cost of the new home is half the cost of the one that we sold. So that was a good situation. So, and it's a ranch. We're on one floor. So, getting older, you know, when you lose your hip, you learn that stairs are not your friend. So, I'm fine now, though. I'm riding my exercise bike again, and the hip is doing good. So, anyway, looks like we're all going to win the first game, huh?
Yeah, although Sean picked Charlotte, I think.
Oh, poor Sean.
It's 24-9 now with 9 minutes left.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
now Matt made his pick at halftime.
Well, let me find
it. That's an old suit trick. I'll submit mine by Christmas. Amazing. He won every game before Christmas. Built himself a lead.
And Matt, you took Buffalo, right?
I did, yes. We're all off to a good start.
I've got an extra space on my chart, and you have just filled it. So
perfect.
I made a chart for all of us, but I had 5 spaces, so now you're all set up, Buffalo. And I'll fill you in tonight. Matt texted me all of his picks, so this is going to be quite the competition this year.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, Matt went back, and he picked all the games from the season and sent them to you. And so far, he has all of them right. All right, we'll take a break.
That's 105 and 0. Way to go, man.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with this week's picks in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Okay, it's pick time. The King has selected the games, and Matt, for the first time this season, has to pick games that haven't been played yet.
Exactly right.
Okay, how are we going to work this? Matt, are you taking over for Sean, or is Sean making his picks and sending them in?
I am taking over as far as I know, but if I get picks, I'll confirm that with
you
guys.
So you inherit Sean's picks?
Yes. So with that, Sean is 65-44, which I now inherit. Steve is 68-41, went 5-2 last week. Sean went 6-1. Kevin went 4-3 last week, 67-41 on the year. So it's still pretty tight as we come down the stretch of the NFL season.
Say it again. Steve is 68.
Yeah, Steve is 68-41. You are 67-41.
And I can't be that.
It's got to be 67-42.
I got to be 67-42.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. 67-42. Yep. Yeah.
And
yeah, messed up the math there. And then 65-44 is Sean and I, the producers.
65-44. Okay.
The producers. Well, they had to make a movie out of you guys, a Broadway play.
I just thought of that, yeah.
So we'll call it Matt Shaw.
Yeah, I'm good with that too, I guess.
Or you want Shaw Matt?
Either way works for me.
Sounds like the name of a Boston.
I go Matt Shaw.
Because Shaw Matt sounds like the name of a Boston bank.
Shawmut.
It's Shawmut.
Shawmut Bank.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
Or Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. So, Matt Shaw. Cool. That's cool.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Brady.
Yeah. on WEEI.
Right, Brady, best ever?
WEEI in Boston.
Brady, best
love
ever?
That station. Crazy.
Speaking of those New England Patriots, those fans are getting ready for a game tomorrow afternoon. First AAA tilt for the NFL on Saturday this year. They host the Buffalo Bills. Should be a great, entertaining game. Let's start with Kevin.
Well, I've went back and forth. There's no question in my mind Buffalo's a better team right now, but I've got this funny feeling, and I know that Edelman is hurt, and God, without Edelman, Brady has no weapons, but I just have a feeling at home New England will win this game because they have to win it. I got New England.
Let's see. Josh Allen, Stephon Gilmore. Not a good combination. First team to 17 wins, that will be the Patriots.
Wow.
I like Buffalo. I think the defensive line's going to be able to make wreak havoc for Brady a little bit, especially without Edelman in there. I think Josh Allen played better last week, but you're right, Steve. He does have to watch out for Stephon Gilmore. He's had a heck of a year. But I think Buffalo's going to take care of business and split the series up.
Can Buffalo finally beat New England in a big game?
Exactly. This time in Buffalo.
This game is in Buffalo?
This is in New England, right? This is at Foxborough.
Yeah, so that's the biggest reason why I'm picking the Patriots. The game's in Foxborough.
And then New England goes as their defense goes.
Yeah,
and you're waiting, but Brady does not have any weapons. It's just, he's getting all the criticism, but my goodness. If they had Antonio Brown, this would be a completely different team. Edelman wouldn't be double-teamed, you can crash right down on Edelman now because there's no Gronkowski and there's no big threat. So it makes it difficult for the Patriots. So
then the Saturday tilt, 8:15, is the Rams coming off that really pathetic loss to the Dallas Cowboys last week at the San Francisco 49ers, who need to bounce back after being upset by Atlanta. Let's start with Steve this time.
I'll go with the 49ers. The Rams, with Jared Goff at quarterback, don't inspire me.
How about you, Kev?
I got San Francisco because they can control the game with their running game. And Jared Goff has been exposed, and he needs to respond to the league has figured him out, and he needs to respond. So I got the Niners.
Yeah, I like San Francisco outright. I think that performance from the Rams last week on a national stage like that with a chance to stay in it against the Cowboys, who have been playing horribly, and they play like that, forget
Cowboys.
That effort is all you needed to know. I'll take San Francisco all day.
Although what was good about that is now Jerry Jones thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl because they won a football game, but it's kind of comical to watch. But.
A week from tomorrow, I'm in Jerry World, baby.
Lucky you.
Can't wait.
Well, we'll get to that game. We'll save that one for last, Eagles-Cowboys. So let's go to the Monday night game, which should be a good one. Vikings hosting the Packers without Dalvin Cook now, which is essentially for the NFC North. Let's start with Kev.
Yeah, I got the Vikings. They're playing really well, and I know he's hurt, but I like the way Cousins is playing, and the Vikings' defense is very good, and Green Bay can be up and down. So I like Minnesota at home.
Steve?
I'm going with Green Bay.
I like Green Bay, too.
I'll take my chances with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I agree. And also, too, Kirk Cousins probably has looked as good as he's been ever, especially this late in the season. But the big reason why has been because of Dalvin Cook. He just opens up so many things for them horizontally and vertically. So I will take Green Bay with Dalvin Cook not being there. So now we go to the game of the week. Eagles, Cowboys at the Link, 425. We'll start at 3 o'clock in Eagle 107, by the way, with Merrill and Mike, who we had Merrill on here yesterday. Battle for the NFC East. Winner take all, basically. Cowboys win the division if they win. Eagles win the division if they win out. So let's start with Steve here on who you got here for the NFC East.
Philadelphia.
Ooh.
Carson Wentz is starting to play really well. And at the Link, I like Philadelphia.
Kev?
I took the Cowboys because if you give this team any confidence at all, they have such good players at every position, they can be really, really good and tough to beat. So they got confidence last week, so I'm going to take a chance and take them. Dallas.
Dallas looked good last week. I think the Eagles do have a very good chance to win this game. I like what they've been doing offensively despite having all the injuries. I think the screen game with Miles Sanders is going to be the big X factor here. But what I can't get past is how the Eagles secondary has played the last couple of weeks, and they in particular have not been able to stop Amari Cooper since he became a Dallas Cowboy. And I think that's going to be a major difference in the game. So, and I know Dak Prescott's dealing with a shoulder injury. I don't think it's really going to be that big a deal. I think he'll be able to smoke that off. But if it is a factor, the Eagles can keep him contained, and they especially contain their gap discipline with some of these option plays that really killed him against Haskins last week with the Redskins, then they'll, I think, they have a chance to win. But just because Amari Cooper scares the heck out of me, I hate to do it. I hope I'm wrong. Steve, I hope you're right. But I'm taking the Cowboys, 28-20.
Okay, once again, audience, notice who got the loyalty points.
There you go.
I may not be right, but I got loyalty points.
Hey, good picks this week. A lot of different ones, so we'll make it fun.
Yes. So. I really hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. Philly's been up and down all year, you know? Another team with great players, but you just wonder. I don't know.
They make every game a root canal.
Yeah.
They are frustrating to watch.
And
you watch the first half, and they're like, wow, are they good? And then the second half, you're like, wow, what happened? You know? So, I don't know. We'll see. The league has been that way this year. And the way the NFL goes, whoever's peaking at the end of the season will win the Super Bowl. So,
well, that's what I keep saying about with the Steelers situation. Essentially, they're playing a playoff game this weekend with the Jets. Just get in. Once you get in, then who knows?
No, it doesn't matter then, especially in football. Dial 1-800-NEW-YORK-GIANTS, you know?
Yeah.
They won two Super Bowls where they were not the best team all year.
Even Green Bay, they were the number six seed when they won in 2010.
Yeah.
Exactly. They limped in.
And you don't have to be the home team, you know. You can look what the Giants did against Green Bay. It was like 0 degrees, and they went to Green Bay, and they stole the game. Won the Super Bowl. So that's what makes the NFL great, is the playoff. It's a good... It's who's ever playing the best at that moment. And It's one game and out. You lose, you're out. So, makes it fun.
Well, I mean, look at the Steelers a couple of years ago, playing at home with Jacksonville. They were like, oh, Jacksonville. And Jacksonville beat the living daylights out of them.
Well, I tell you, that guy's going to win Coach of the Year. And he deserves it.
Tomlin deserves to be Coach of the
Year.
No question.
Absolutely deserves it. He had all kinds of trouble. He loses Roethlisberger, and he kept them in it. And to even consider that they could make the playoffs is just a tribute to him. That's coaching, keeping your team in it. And he deserves Coach of the Year. Players, I guess most of them like him. Some don't like him, but he tells you how it is. So,
well,
cool. I like that.
You know, to be universally loved. 3:56 to go at the Bahamas Bowl. Actually, it's the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl. Buffalo leads Charlotte 24-9.
Yes. We'll get one under our belt.
In the crowd.
What's our next game? Utah or something?
Utah State. And they're playing the Frisco
Kent
Bowl,
State.
Right?
Yeah.
Kent State, Utah State.
Let's see who we are.
On ESPN2 tonight.
Before I look it up, who do you have, Matt? I'll fill it in now.
I love Utah State tonight. And actually, we all have Utah State.
Yeah.
Make it easy
so
for
we
you.
We all got us. So, us. So, no drama there. The next game, we got some drama. Then no drama after that. And then drama. So,
there you go.
Gotta be fun, boys.
Absolutely. Glad to
be
in the fold now.
Yep, it's great to have you in the fold, and I'll probably see the second half of that game tonight. So I've got a game.
How's the basketball team looking?
Ranked 23rd in the country.
Yeah, I saw that on the internet. First ranking in a long time.
Yep.
Yeah, now they got a hold of it. So
yeah,
get yourself in the NCAA tournament, big guy.
Yeah,
how cool would that be? Been a while.
Yeah, I know it's you. Yeah, I'm well aware. I know better than most.